Cognitive overload with the coronavirus. There's so much opinion as well as information as described on Media Watch, and we need to process everything that's germane, but not everything we see and hear and read. What's it like when your world isn't quite like that? And what if it still sounded a bit more like this? This is an old phone ringing, a sound some people will remember. And I don't claim that people still use these phones where we're going. And people have those rings still on their cell phones, don't they? They live in the modern world where they're going, and we nearly where we're going, and they nearly all do, unless it's somewhere like Barne Bay or a part of the Catlins or Northland. In the United States, though, 15 million people are to some extent apparently off the grid. And there's a whole town we're heading to without Wi-Fi or cell phone reception. On your phone, at least, no Snapchat, TikTok, Insta. Cell phones are used as clocks and calculators. No Bluetooth either, by and large, or microwaves, garage door openers, radio-controlled toys. No one texts and drives. Telephone booths are popular, and so are the maps that fold up and live in your glove box. Green Bank, West Virginia. Almost heaven, said John Denver. Maybe it is. It's in the middle of 34,000 square kilometres of quietude. Dr. Karen O'Neill joins us, director of the Green Bank Observatory, site of the world's largest fully steerable telescope. Hello, Karen.
Hello.
I feel I should even speak quietly when I talk to you, actually. Why is Wi-Fi banned where you are? Why no smartphones, please?
So we live inside of two radio quiet zones, the West Virginia Radio Astronomy Zone and the National Radio Quiet Zone. And combined, those two radio quiet zones exist to protect the Green Bank Observatory, as well as a few other facilities in the area. And so we get to have very radio quiet skies, very much like an optical astronomer. You think about them wanting to be away from large cities, away from bright lights, so that they can see the skies at night without the interference of the light. We need to be able to view the skies at night and during the daytime without any radio waves around it. So we're in a very radio quiet area to allow that to happen.
You've got a big telescope, 147 meters tall. It must be a major landmark.
It is and it isn't. It's a major landmark when you see it, but we are in the hills here of West Virginia, and so it can you got to kind of wind your way around the hills a little bit before you see it. And when you do, it really pops out at you. Certainly the GBT is a major landmark in the area and something everybody kind of knows directions by around here.
What did you call it? The what? The GEP?
The GBT. Oh, GBT. Green Bank Telescope or right. Great Big Telescope, depending on how you want to think about it.
I'm told there's a sign outside your science center which says that your telescope could detect your phone on Saturn in airplane mode. Is that a joke or is it that good?
It's much better than that. Your phone on Saturn in airplane mode is very loud to us. And so we're listening to signals that are exquisitely faint. And those are the signals of the universe. The universe doesn't shout to us. The universe whispers to us. And those are the signals we're listening for. And so a cell phone on Saturn is loud to us. And you can imagine a cell phone just across the street or on the site would be pretty harmful.
So what have we learned from your observatory that we wouldn't have without this diminution of electronic noise? Because you study the emissions coming in from bodies in space, all of them, I take it.
That's right. So the Green Bank Observatory has actually been around for more than 60 years. Currently, our largest telescope is the 100-meter diameter Green Bank Telescope, and that's where most of our science comes from. But you can actually go back over the history of the site to really look at all the wide variety of discoveries that have happened. And the majority of these discoveries could not have occurred if we had a lot of radio noise around us. So going back in history, you can look at things like the first ever detection of carbon monoxide in space. So complex, fairly simple, but molecules out in space. And then you can take that to today where the GBT is being used to go and look for things like prebiotic molecules in space. This is the stuff you need to create life. So it's looking for those as well as very complex molecules like sugar and all. So we can use the GBT to find these complex molecules, and that helps us really try to understand just not just the universe, but also our place in the universe and how we could have come to be here within the universe and how life could have started to form. So we use the GBT for things like that. We also look, of course, at planets, both our own planet and planets within the solar system. And then we go out and we look at asteroids. We look at our own sun, and then we look at all the stars within the Milky Way galaxy and then all the other galaxies out there looking farther and farther away from us. We can look farther and farther back in time even and go back to times when clusters of galaxies were forming and galaxies were starting to form. So we can use the GBT to really understand just a huge variety of phenomena around us.
That really neatly summarizes its great importance. And I suppose in the popular imagination, if the aliens ever head this way, you'll hear them first.
We certainly would hope to. The Green Bank Observatory has a very long history with SETI. Back in the 1960s, Frank Drake had his first ever experiment using a radio telescope to listen for extraterrestrial signals. And ever since then, we've had over the years many different experiments going on with our telescopes, listening for different technological civilizations. We haven't detected anything yet, but it would certainly be very fun if we ever did.
Dr. Karen O'Neill is talking to us, director of the Green Bank Observatory. You can use computers.
We have wired internet around the county, and some areas it's better than other areas. But certainly at the observatory, we have a pretty wide broadband pipe coming down to the telescopes, to the observatory. So it's a little bit of an irony that we have this very technological marvel, the Green Bank Telescope and all the instrumentation that goes with it. We take a lot of data and we send that data all around the world using the internet. We simply don't use wireless internet.
Right. I also assume, though, that there's a limit on information coming in, for example, at the moment regarding COVID-19, that people aren't bombarded as they would be in another town in a city?
Well, it's an interesting question. So we certainly have access to the news. We have internet at many people's homes. People have television and things like that. So we have the ability to get all the information we want to get on COVID virus and on everything else that's going on in the world. To me, the big difference in not having cell phones is that you can choose when you want to listen to it. So if I want to walk away from this, I don't have a phone buzzing me all the time trying to let me know what's going on in the world. I can just take myself away. And then when I want to find out what's going on, I can access it as well as anybody else can. So I can still find all that news. I just don't have to listen to it continuously.
Yeah. And do you notice the effect? Do you suspect that, of course, media say that residents of the town are calmer and children grow up like they did in the 1950s and 60s. Does that happen?
Well, I have two kids of my own. They're teenagers now. And I can certainly say that when their friends are over, they do like to play video games like all teenagers do around the world, I'm pretty sure. But they much prefer to be out in the woods running around and playing and just having a good time. So I think that not having cell phones, not being constantly connected does make a difference. They're not deprived in any way. They have the capability to go online. They certainly can pick up technology just as quick as everybody else. But they seem very happy to put it down, to walk away from it, and to just go play and just go be kids.
Yeah, that's interesting. They say there's more talking in families, too. Do you reckon that's right?
It's hard to know since we live here. This is kind of our normal. But I certainly hear that from other people when we go and visit that are not just my own kids, but the kids from the community are good at talking to adults is one of the comments I hear, and very good at conversations. You go to fairs, for example. We were at a regional science fair a couple months ago, and then you looked around the room and you could pick out the kids from Pocahontas County because they were talking to each other and not looking at their phones.
I suppose that all changes as they go away to the big wide world and go to universities or jobs or whatever. You're one of the least affected areas. In fact, I think the least affected area at the moment in the US for COVID-19.
That's right. So West Virginia currently has two cases that are known with COVID-19. Testing hasn't been high, but if you compare us to something like Ohio, certainly the number of cases are less for the number of tests that we've had.
Yeah. Do people shy away from Green Bank as well, Karen? They're afraid of being incommunicado.
It's a mixed bag. Some people absolutely love it here. I certainly love it here. I love the fact that I don't have a device yelling at me all the time, trying to get me to do things all the time. But we've had people come and say, gee, it's nice to visit, but I couldn't possibly live here. There's a large ski resort, Snowshoe Ski Resort, just about 20, 25 miles as the crow flies from the Green Bank Observatory. And a lot of people love to visit it. And they'll say, boy, that was a fun weekend without my phone, but I think I'd like to go home now. So there are certainly plenty of people who prefer to be on their devices, but there's plenty of people out there who prefer not to, and those are the people that tend to settle here.
Out of interest, because our phones have become tyrants. In your time without a cell phone nagging at you, have you ever missed something really important that you think, oh God, I wish I'd had a cell phone in that moment? Or in fact, has it been fine?
No, I've never missed anything. It's been fine. You can always find a way to reach somebody if you need to. And, you know, we all have telephones at our homes and we use them. And of course, like I said, you can check internet and things like that. There aren't a lot of things out there that the 30 minutes to an hour it might take before you get near a landline again really is going to make a big difference.
So how long have you been there? Because you sound like you love your job because it's an important job, but also love your life there.
I absolutely do love it here. I was actually born in West Virginia and haven't spent my whole life in the area, but we've been back here in Green Bank for about 16 years now, 17 years now.
And no plans to leave?
No plans to leave. No, we absolutely love it.
All the best with the coronavirus where you are, and very good of you to give us your time this morning.
Thank you, and thank you very much for your interest. Appreciate it.